Much has been written about the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan from the soldiers' perspective, but less attention has been paid to the experiences of the spouses and children they leave behind. Joining us now are two writers who've explored in very different ways what happens at home when spouses are sent to war. Lily Barana describes dealing with her husband's deployment and with the post-traumatic stress he developed in her memoir, I Love a Man in Uniform, which is just out in paperback from Weinstein Books. And Siobhan Fallon provides a window into the domestic side of military life in her debut collection of linked short stories called You Know When the Men Are Gone. It's published by G.P. Putnam Sons. I'm very pleased to welcome them to our show.
Thank you, Leonard.
Both of these books have received terrific reviews. Lily, L called your memoir a skillful blend of humor and poignancy. Siobhan, in her New York Times review, Janet Maslin described your stories as gripping, straight up, and no nonsense, and said there wasn't a loser in the bunch. I'm curious about what drew you to writing about your experiences as military wives. Lily, were you especially interested in telling your story because it was so different than many of us would have expected?
Yes, that's part of it. I mean, I would say it's not inaccurate to say that I'm somewhat left of center. So having met my husband, who was a military man and had him in for 12 years, it was a revelation to me that he was so different than the prevailing stereotypes of what we assume a military man to be.
Of course, you go against the prevailing stereotypes of what we assume a military wife to be. You had been an exotic dancer and even posed for Playboy.
Yeah, that's correct. And I have to say I'm not the only one, but to say that that's standard fare as far as military wives go, yeah, that's true. I'm a little bit unusual in that regard.
We usually assume they're a bit more conservative.
Yes.
But you became a journalist. So is that how you started writing?
Yeah. I mean, it's a fact of life that in what we would call a body business or adult entertainment, you age out of it at about 25. So you're really at about 23, you better start thinking fast. And I thought, well, what have I been doing consistently? Writing for punk fanzines. So I sort of cast my net on the waters and see if anybody would deign to pay me. And it sort of started from there. And it's very much the Horatio Alger School of Journalism.
Well, how did you meet Mike? Is this a matter of opposites attract?
Yes, and also an opportunity of lightning striking only once. A friend of mine who is in the Daughters of the American Revolution wanted to do a historical grave marking ceremony for a patriot who had not yet gotten a marker in Greenwood Cemetery in Brooklyn. She had asked me to come along, and as part of the ceremony, she invited a color guard and an officer from the history department at West Point. And we pull up to the graveyard, and out from this car steps this man in a Class A uniform, which is the dark green uniform with the hat and all the medals. And I think I was rendered speechless probably for about 10 minutes, and that's how we met.
Siobhan, were you a writer before you met your husband?
Yes, I was. I was just finishing up my MFA when we met.
And how did you meet?
My father has an Irish pub right outside of West Point in New York, and I was bartending that night, and he graduated and came in with some friends.
How long after you were married and moved to Fort Hood did you realize that your experiences would provide good material for a series of stories?
I don't know how aware I was of it when I started writing these particular stories. I was just following that writer's adage of writing what I knew, and it was the life I was leading, and he was deploying again, and I was getting ready for it, and I just found myself writing more than usual, and these were the stories that came out of that.
You were gone by the time of the Fort Hood shootings, but were you surprised that something like that could happen?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you expect a base to be the safest place in America, and something like that just sort of rocks your everything.
Although we are talking about a lot of people dealing with violence.
Yeah.
But in fairness, we're not talking about violence against each other. We're talking about men and women who've given an oath to support and uphold the Constitution, to defend the homeland, certainly not to attack each other under any circumstances, whether it's in combat, and certainly not on a military installation.
You've both said that becoming a military spouse was a big adjustment. In what way? Because you're living on a base and living a very different kind of life than you had before?
Yeah, and there's an awareness of people knowing what the other people, you know, your neighbors are doing in a different way than you do in the civilian world when your husband spends, or your soldiers spend so much time together working and training and deploying. So they might know secrets that you don't otherwise know. And the spouses generally live very close together as well. So,
yeah, we call it the fishbowl because there is this, you get this feeling of being constantly observed, not by the military, but by each other. And also it's a regimented life. Your grass has to be a certain height. You can only decorate a certain number of days before Christmas. You can only be so physically affectionate with your husband in a military setting. So in many, many ways, behaviors that we take for granted in the civilian living environment are not permitted.
And you say you initially found yourself haunted by the image of the perfect military wife.
Yes, absolutely.
Who's the perfect military wife?
Now, there's no one woman that I can hold up and say she's it and that we all should strive to emulate her as if there were some camouflage Miss America or something out there. However, you know, one thing that they say in the military is senior never remembers and junior never forgets. So if you're the younger wife, you're always going to remember every interaction you have with the wife of a senior soldier and what she wears and how she composes herself. And you come to see that these women never forget a thank you note. They're always participating in the bake sale. They're always remembering names that you couldn't remember if your life depended on it. And they have such social finesse. It's actually a little intimidating.
But is it the same kind of hierarchy there is within the military? Because officers get a lot more respected, you know, just by the rules than the privates?
I don't know how different it is from the civilian world. If you have your boss and you have to just be on your best behavior in front of your boss and the boss's wife. But again, it's just a smaller world, so you're always aware of it.
And I will say it is certainly frowned upon for a wife to do what in the military is called wearing her husband's rank. It is generally mm-hmm. not well received at all if somebody, because she's not in the military, so she doesn't have rank. She shouldn't act as if she should. So that's something that we kind of joke about a lot.
My guests are Lily Barana, who's written a book called I Love a Man in Uniform, a memoir of love, war, and other battles, and Siobhan Fallon, who's written a collection of short stories called You Know When the Men Are Gone. Siobhan, some of the characters in your stories reminded me of the perfect military wife, and others seem far from that ideal. How closely are your characters based on women you met when you were living at Fort Hood?
It's definitely a work of fiction, but there were issues that I would see arise during each deployment. So just trying to, I guess, examine the way different characters would react to the stress of a deployment.
Well, how different is living on a military base from living in a typical American town?
I wouldn't say it's remarkably different from living in a small town in the sense that mm-hmm. there's the constant awareness of
everybody knows everybody.
Right. Although I would say that there's not many small towns in America where that are surrounded by barbed wires and where you have to present your ID card to armed guards and, you know, to get on post and to show an ID to even shop in the grocery store.
Well, so people who live on the base also shop there, send their children to school there. There's a kind of fortress mentality.
Yeah. I mean, there's a feel that you don't need to leave if you don't want to. I mean, the Army wants you to have everything right there.
But what about the spouses? I'm assuming some of them have jobs outside the base.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Siobhan, after you.
They do. There definitely are spouses that work, but you have a tendency to move a lot when your husband's you have a soldier. So maybe every 3 years or so you have to pick up and you could get sent from one end of the country to the other, so it's harder to put down the roots that you'd need for a career.
What about when it's the wife who's in the military and the husband stays at home? Do they tend to come up with different solutions to the situation than the wives?
Far and away, in my experience, when the wife is in the military, they're often a dual military couple where they both are in. The vast majority are either dual military or the man is the one in uniform. That's changing, of course, as is to be expected. I do know a couple stay-at-home Army dads, but by and large, they kind of are winging it and are in the same position the women are, which is, I'm going to have to cultivate a career that is highly portable, like nursing or some aspect of medicine. It's highly unlikely he's going to be an investment banker. It's just not possible.
Siobhan, I've read that you and your young daughter plan to go with your husband when he starts his next assignment for which he will be stationed in the Middle East. Do you know when that move will take place?
Yes, he's actually leaving on Monday. He heads out and will follow probably in early March.
To an American military base?
No, we'll be living near the embassy in Amman, Jordan. And he'll be working with the Jordanian army and at the embassy there. And yeah.
Lily, you've said that you had trouble finding your place among the other wives when you moved to a military base soon after you were married. Was that because you were new, or did the other wives know about your colorful past?
They didn't know, to the extent that they discovered it as we got to know each other. They didn't really care. Military families tend to be very resilient. You have to move so much. You go through so much in your own life. You don't make a particularly well-developed hobby of judging other people. What made it challenging was my husband had already been in for 12 years. So I wasn't marrying him as a young lieutenant and as a 22-year-old. I was marrying him, you know, with somebody in my 30s, and the women who were my peers already had the ropes down. So it wasn't as if somebody sort of comes in and tutors you. It's very much learn as you go in terms of the customs, none of which are officially mandated, but you certainly want to learn them.
And Siobhan, you wrote a story along these lines about a character named Natalia. In fact, the title story, you know, When the Men Are Gone, she has trouble finding acceptance among the other military wives at Fort Hood. But that's also because she's a foreigner?
Yeah, and she was also somebody who had come back with the soldier from a deployment. So she represents a lot of the fears that the spouses at home are having.
Mm-hmm. The husband goes off and meets another woman.
Mm-hmm, perhaps.
You've both written about the challenges that military families face when soldiers return home and need to be reintegrated into their families and communities. And Lily, how well do you think the average American civilian understands the challenges posed by a soldier's return?
I would say that they may not understand very well, but they want to understand very much. And that's the obligation that I feel, and I would intuit that Siobhan feels in writing about this very cloistered community, which is, you know, if you want to know, I'm going to be honest about it. What was most surprising to me was it wasn't the sort of romantic comedy reunion where you sort of run to each other and you spend, you know, weeks entwined in each other's arms and it's like a second honeymoon. And I think it's reasonable to expect and to want that. What I found he needed most of all was respectful distance. Not that I would completely be checked out, but to let him set the pace of, you know, telling me what had bothered him. In many cases, my husband is a textbook soldier. He just kind of wanted to get on with things and see his family and get back on track and not be hectored or, you know, forced to open up.
And that, ask what happened.
That has pluses.
What's bothering you, honey?
That's right. That has pluses and minuses, which I rigorously document in this book. And it's very hard because as a woman, of course, you want to have that emotional intimacy with your partner, and they can find it very, very intrusive.
And Siobhan, you touch on that struggle in several of your stories, especially in the one called You Survived the War, Now Survive the Homecoming. But didn't the title come from a traffic safety sign you saw posted at Fort Hood?
Yes, it is. The actual sign says, You Survived the War, Now Survive the Highways.
Because returned soldiers are especially prone to being involved in traffic accidents?
Yeah, I think when they're not fully integrated yet, they have a little bit riskier behavior and probably incredibly excited to be home and do a lot of wild things.
Well, in that story, a young mother named Carla Walensky has received a collect call from her husband who'd recently returned from his overseas deployment, and he has spent the night in jail, and he asks Carla to pick him up.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole story takes place in a short time, the short time that it takes the couple to drive home and pick up their baby from a neighbor. But in it, you deal with anger, fear, loneliness, uncertainty, and the violence that's a part of their lives.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably the main theme of my stories, of just that trying to get back to where these couples were before the deployment. And in that story, they're working out so many different things at once and just trying to connect.
Well, you've written about, Lily, about helping your husband deal with post-traumatic stress disorder after his deployment and then discovering that you were also experiencing post-traumatic stress of your own. Was one the result of the other?
I would say that observing my husband harden into somebody I didn't recognize, who's normally a very sort of effusive Italian-American, talky, huggy person, become much more rigid and regimented. There was an instinct that something was wrong, but I didn't have the vocabulary. He didn't have the kind of cartoon Vietnam, Hollywood, you know, flashbacks, hiding under the table, you know, when there's a door slams, he takes a dive, that kind of filmic depiction that we see of post-traumatic stress disorder. It's often more insidious and harder to locate exactly what it is beyond, I know something's wrong. Now, what happened as a sort of perfect storm of crap around this is, you know, that was a trigger for me. And that kind of uncorked all my childhood mishigas, which unfortunately you can run, but you can't hide. And that was just the time for it to come out and get settled. And, you know, I suppose, you know, nobody really wants to see that kind of car crash marital story, but I feel it's fairly important because I don't see it as all atypical. You know, when I get together with military girlfriends who've had husbands who've been deployed often more than once, there's usually some variant of this in their history.
You actually separated for a time, but now you're back together, I gather. Lily Barana has written for the New York Times, Washington Post, the LA Times, and serves currently on the editorial board of Military Spouse magazine. You Know When the Men Are Gone is Siobhan Fallon's debut short story collection. It's gotten great reviews. Both of them will be, no, Siobhan Fallon will be giving a talk and signing books tonight at 7 o'clock at the Tribeca Barnes & Noble store. That's at 97 Warren Street at Greenwich Street. Thank you both so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.